Sports. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's the Ailish Hour for the last time. We'll be filling this hour with someone you know and love. We'll get him on the show later to explain it all to you. But exciting for my co-host, J.D. Bunkist, who's getting the J.D. Bunkist podcast that you'll hear 9 a.m. moving forward, starting Monday. So we'll give him a little bit, we'll give a tease to you at the end of the show with J.D. himself. Glad he could take time for someone like me. Someone that shared the mic for a good year together. So that's coming up later on the show. We're going to have Xavier Scruggs, former MLB first baseman. We're going to have Kevin Pangos, Canadian men's basketball team. He's also playing in Italy. Also a guy from a wonderful part of Ontario that I know well. East Gwillimbury, Ontario. Sure, we'll probably mention that a couple of times. It's going to be a great lineup today. Tonight, the Blue Jays start a homestand against the Baltimore Orioles. They play today, Saturday, and Sunday. I think one of those days is actually a Marvel game day. I'm not a big Marvel person, but you can marvel in the wonder tonight of a bullpen day. Sorry, I had to. Tonight, a bullpen game setting up two great pitching matchups on the weekend. I'll be going to the game tonight to soak it all in. Start your Friday off, hopefully, with a fun one, at least. So we have that tonight. Big news that came out of yesterday. I mean, the Blue Jays lost 11-0. That's the end of that game story. Wasn't ideal. It's okay. Big bounce back night tonight. But Hector Gomez, reporter that we all know very well to be in tune, a little bit of an insider, tweeted out that Vladdy Jr. is, quote, open to signing a long-term deal with the Blue Jays. He feels really happy about playing here and hopes that something can be done about it in the offseason. I don't think it's like a surprising piece of information to hear from somebody that is set up for a big payday, someone that loves the Toronto Blue Jays and has been praised and accepted into this community like none other, face of this franchise, saying that he's open to talking about contract this summer. That is not only very exciting, but kind of expected, I believe. But the main narrative now coming out of this is what is going to be Vladdy's potential contract. We had the text line open all morning. We'll keep it going at 590-590. Hopefully you have some insight and some potential thoughts on what Vladdy could be awarded. I pinned a couple that I'm going to read to you. Vladdy will be the first billion-dollar player. Go Jays, go. $1 billion. I mean, that would be a historic achievement. Not sure how fans would feel about that big bankroll, but stranger things have happened in the world. Brian from Belleville says, Vladdy should get a 10-year deal for $300 million. Jay should lock him up now, then work on locking up Bo Bichette, then try locking up Stripling as well to a 3- and 4-year deal. I mean, that seems to me to be the similar type priority. Didn't mention Alek Manoah in this. When you start to lay out who the Blue Jays need to hopefully start to get these conversations going, is Vladdy, is Bo. Stripling would be a wonderful person to get, not go to free agency. And then Alek Manoah has been playing lights out and will deserve a major chunk of change. But keep your text coming at 590-590. If you were predicting what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. should be getting for his contract that he's open to talking about this summer, what would that be? First guest on the Ailish Hour, former MLB first baseman Xavier Scruggs and current MLB Network and ESPN analyst. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Busy guy. I appreciate you taking the time to chat a little Blue Jays baseball with us. They just took 3 out of 5 from the Rays this week. You know, the team has had what has been described many times as a little bit of a roller coaster of a season. Do you believe in peaking at the right time in September and hopefully October?
Oh, absolutely. I look at, you know, it's all about playing baseball the right way at the right time. We've seen it so many times where teams that may have not necessarily been the best team throughout the course of the regular season have ended up, you know, winning a World Series or going deep into the postseason. So for a team that's as talented as the Blue Jays, I mean, that's definitely something I could see happening. And you look across a lot of the American League and Major League Baseball in general, there's been a lot of inconsistency with some of these teams that we expected to play a lot better. I still look at even the Yankees have been a team that has struggled kind of here down the stretch. The same thing with the Rays. They've been a team that's been pretty inconsistent with a lot of injuries as well. There's so many teams like that, even in the AL Central. So no matter what happens, it's the team that's playing the best baseball when it counts that ends up doing the best.
Well, that's a good sign then for Blue Jays fans at least, because it's been a pretty good consistent run, and that's really been led by Bo Bichette, who has had a historic red-hot month. When you look at the entire baseball landscape and where Bo might rank, where do you see him in terms of the best shortstops in the game?
Yeah, he's definitely up there, at least top five, top seven. I think just because of his ability to, you know, incorporate power, we see the speed, you know, we see his ability just hit in general. And then he's getting better at the shortstop position. So he's definitely one of those players that's still young, but we can expect a lot of that out of him in the future. And you see a perfect example of it right now, the way he's playing, getting his average up to 285, being a guy that's now you can count on producing in the middle of the order consistently down the stretch. So I'm excited to see what his future looks like, but most importantly, excited to see how he carries this team hopefully into the postseason.
What's that like, you know, either yourself or playing on a team when there's a young stars, and the Blue Jays have a couple, that also feel the expectation to start to develop into a leader while also maybe have to face adversity for the first times in their career, not performing up to their potential, having pressure on themselves as well, but also trying to fit into a role that you may potentially be the face of this franchise moving forward? Is it kind of hard to juggle all that, or is it easy to just dial in every game and focus on what's at hand?
Well, I think everybody's different, right? And I think one of the biggest things is Bo's already performed at a high level before, so he knows what he's capable of doing. And he's not necessarily the most vocal guy, so he can lead by example. And I think a lot of players respect that, especially in a locker room when a guy is not necessarily up and down with the way he's trying to lead, right? If the guy goes out there day by day and just shows you by example, no matter how he's performing, kind of what steps to take behind him, I think that's the perfect type of leader. And I think for Bo, having somebody that's, you know, his father played in the big leagues at a very high level, he's already familiar with all of those things. And you can tell just by his demeanor and how he carries himself on a day-by-day basis. I actually got a chance to talk to Bo a couple of days ago on my show Off Base for MLB Network, and you can just tell that his focus is so precise, no matter if he's struggling or not. So I think that's the type of leader that you're looking for. And when you talk about balancing those things, if anybody can do it, it's him. He's already seen what it takes from his father. He's already performed at a high level. He's been an all-star. And now he's on a team that's playing extremely well. So if anything, I would expect him to almost elevate his game when those types of pressures come along.
So it's tough to try to pull these two players apart. They're often connected in terms of, you know, Vladdy and Bo, and the comparisons are always there. They're young. They're both vying to be kind of the guys on the team, and they share that stage well. And Vladdy has also had a bit of an up and down year at the plate. He got his 100th home run the other day, a career home run, which is an incredible achievement. But yesterday, just hearing a little bit of information that he's open to an extension and talking with the Blue Jays, obviously that doesn't seem very surprising to me. But is there a little bit, you know, you're a first baseman and he's a first baseman looking for a payday. Is there something different about being a non-premier position player, but also the face of a franchise and such a young talent that might make this negotiation a little bit more difficult?
I think it can be difficult because you look at how young he is, kind of the expectations that have maybe been set for himself and the organization with him, you know, in that MVP race last year with Shohei Ohtani. We know he can produce at a very high level. Now it's just about the consistency in which he can do it. And I think when you look at contract negotiations, it's all about predictability. How well can we predict this player will perform at a very high level for a certain amount of years? And also the idea that, you know, is he going to be in one position moving forward? Is he going to play first base? Is he going to be more of a DH? Those things will all come into play. So by no means will it be easy. And then definitely I think what does make it easier is the understanding that he wants to be in Toronto. I think that makes it easier for both sides to, you know that there's a want for both sides. Sometimes you don't get that, you know, this early on in a player's career, knowing that they want to be in one place. So I think if anything, that points in a lot of positivity for both the organization and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but I don't think necessarily you know, it's going to be an easy negotiation, especially how good we can expect him to be moving forward.
So Blue Jays back in action today, starting a new homestand against the Orioles. Baltimore's been one of the best pleasant surprises, I would say, in baseball this season. How have they turned things around so quickly after some tougher times over the past years? And is that just on, you know, getting some young studs and Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, to say the least, those two?
Yeah, I think one of the big things you notice with them is, you know, there's a pitching core, especially from a bullpen standpoint. They've built a foundation now, but also I think guys have taken a step forward a little quicker than they may have expected. And when you talk about guys like Gunnar Henderson, you talk about Adley Rutschman, Cedric Mullins, you know, there's guys now that have Ryan Mountcastle, guys that have really built a solid foundation and understood how to be kind of professionals at an elite level now. And I think one thing you're also noticing is there's a lot of athleticism, and it actually reminds me of the Blue Jays too. It's like there's a lot of athleticism within that team, and you talk about like guys with a power speed combination like a Cedric Mullins. That's extremely important nowadays, and I think that's one area in which you can see guys make adjustments a lot quicker because they're so athletic to do so. And I think that's one thing we've seen. And you mentioned Rutschman; that's a huge factor. You talk about somebody that, you know, from a hitting standpoint, but also a defensive standpoint, can handle a pitching staff the way that he does at such a young age. It doesn't get much better than that. The sky's the limit for this team, who's already pretty much a year above schedule right now. But let's not forget, it is a tough AL East. That's going to be the toughest factor. Is none of these teams are going to get any worse. They're all getting better at the same time.
Let's stick with that AL East. You know, we obviously have the excitement of looking at the standings every day and trying to figure out how many this, how many that, who you're going to play. Just in terms of the landscape of the AL, who are you feeling the most confident about? And we talked about peaking at the right time, but all considered in the seasons that they've had and just being the team that is able to make it to the Fall Classic.
Yeah, I mean, if we're specifically talking about the AL East, you know, I think that you look at any one of these teams, as far as the Yankees, the Rays, and the Blue Jays, have an opportunity to go deep into a postseason just because of the pitching. And I think that the only thing is, all these teams have had a lot of inconsistency. So when you look at now having to face a team like the Astros deep into the postseason, it's not going to be easy. And even one of these teams that may have to face a Seattle in the first round, it's not going to be easy as well, because that team is playing extremely good baseball. But I don't count out any of these teams from the AL East, specifically because they've had the toughest division to play in and they've had the toughest competition. So that's one thing. When you talk about peaking at the right moment, any one of these teams has the ability to be dominant at the right moment. The Yankees offense, if they're able to turn it around the way that they have the past few days, they can beat anybody. The Blue Jays, as far as their pitching, the starting pitching, and guys that have stepped up, I think they can take on anybody. And you have MVP caliber players in the middle of that lineup. That's huge. And then the Rays, the depth that they have with the pitching staff, and then they just seem to do every little thing right when it comes to their offense. All those things equate to an opportunity to go deep into the postseason.
I'm speaking with Xavier Scruggs, former MLB first baseman. So you mentioned the Yankees. I mean, obviously about 2 weeks ago, probably would have been a different conversation. Now they've won 8 of their last 10, peaking at the right time, specifically in this tough division. Now let's move over to the NL East. The Braves and the Mets are kind of in this back and forth battle. If you had to predict who might make it through, who do you have the most confidence in?
Oh man, now you put me on the spot. This is the toughest one.
I was
one
giving
right
you
here.
Layups. Now it's time to really chat.
Yeah, no, this is a tough one. I look at, you know, the Mets have been able to do what they've done all throughout the course of the season. It's been really impressive. But I also look at the Braves team that's already been there last year. They already won it last year. I think that experience ultimately helps them down the stretch. I love the way that guys have stepped up, like a Michael Harris the second, and has really almost established himself as a veteran already in his rookie season. And then the pitching staff. Well, you look at another rookie of the year candidate and a Spencer Strider who's been unbelievable. I think they have extreme depth in the bullpen, bringing over Rossell Iglesias from the Angels. I think this team made the right moves, not just to win the division, but I think ultimately get themselves back to where they were last year. So if you had to ask me right now, I think the Braves end up taking it at some point in the latter part of this month or going into October.
Okay, I'll hold you accountable to that. It's not like anything can change in the meantime.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, so one last one before I let you go. Yesterday or Thursday was a pretty good scene, a pretty cool scene actually at the Rogers Center. The Rays fielded an all Latino lineup on Roberto Clemente Day. First time that's ever happened in MLB history. Well, I just assume, you know, you are in agreement. It's a really cool historical moment and probably bodes really well for the Latino players in the league. Was it just exciting for you to see that as well?
Yeah, I think that's got to be exciting for everybody just to kind of see where our game has gone, you know, and understanding on a huge day like Roberto Clemente Day, but then also understanding that, like, our game has so much diversity within it. It's one of the few sports that has so much diversity, guys from so many different backgrounds, so many ethnicities. And I think that's one thing that we have to continue to celebrate because it really is something special. And you don't see it often. And I think with us having such a melting pot of a league, that only helps open different perspectives. That only helps guys understand, you know, a little bit better where guys are coming from and those backgrounds. And the same thing goes for, you know, not just Latinos, but I think about like every different background, even every gender within our league as well. That's a huge testament to what we've done over the past couple of years, just to make sure that those things are going in the right direction. I think those things always got to be celebrated.
Yeah, I especially love seeing women in baseball being able to champion some of those major roles, as you mentioned.
Well, yeah, 100%.
Diversity is so important, and it was really great to see that on display, especially here at the Rogers Center. Selfishly, we got to witness it live, so that was really special. You know, we've had 3 out of 4 of MLB off-base co-hosts on here. What's with Hannah? Does she not like the show or what?
I don't know. I gotta talk to her. Let's get her on there. Make sure she's getting on. She's got a lot of stuff to say. So
yeah,
definitely gotta get her on there.
You gotta put in the good word. All right.
I'll do it. All right. You can count on me.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining this morning. Enjoy the rest of September and into October, and we'll chat with you to see about how your takes stand up.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Xavier Scruggs, former MLB first baseman, current MLB Network and ESPN analyst. MLB off base. We had Lauren. We had Keith. I don't know. Seems like Hannah's dodging us. Danielle, we'll work on her next. Excited. I really enjoyed seeing the Rays make history here at the Blue Jays Thursday afternoon game yesterday. Was a bit of a tough showing in terms of what the Blue Jays put up, but a really special game to see Roberto Clemente being honored. This all Latino lineup, really special. History made, as Xavier said, a lot of diversity to celebrate in this league. Looking forward to seeing that continue. Blue Jays in action against the Orioles tonight. I was right with it being Marvel Day this weekend. Never really got into Marvel, but if I was to watch one Marvel movie, what would it be? $5.90, $5.90. Maybe I'll fit it into my weekend viewing before Sunday football all day. If I could watch one Marvel movie to get me in that franchise, what would it be? Kevin Pangos is going to join me after the break. Talk about Canadian men's basketball, where we're at, and what it was like growing up in the beautiful East Gwillimbury, Ontario surroundings. That's next on the Ailish Hour on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Friday on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's the Ailish Hour, the final Ailish Hour, because someone that needs no introduction. You might know him from our time when he interrupted the A-list every single day. It's J.D. Bunkus, host of the new J.D. Bunkus podcast. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
I'm good. Are you stoked that this is the last A-list hour?
It's the last time I'll ever speak
to you. I got a lot of angry messages from people. No, you're seeing me every day.
Yeah,
like, that's happening. Now we're back in the studio. I'm going to see you every single day. I'm sure we're going to end up doing a ton of crossover content together. But I got a lot of people going, did you steal the Ailish hour?
I got a lot of that, too.
Did you take Ailish's hour away? And I went, what? Ailish doing 3 hours before? But you can tell me, did I steal your hour?
I'm happy to hand it over to you. You know, I think you deserve the extra three.
Oh, that didn't sound so happy.
The 3 to 4 hours of sleep that you need to rest your little head. No more grinding for you. You get to wake up and have a coffee, stretch your arms over your head, and then come in and transit at a regular hour. It'll be beautiful for you.
You know I'm a big stretch guy. Yeah. You know, like, I'm a big morning
You're
going to
be
guy.
So elongated and limber now with this. You might grow. It's awesome.
I'm really stoked to grow. That's really good.
Every time
I
see you, I'm going to see JD from 8:55 a.m. to 8:59 a.m. in our crossovers. Every day you'll be a centimeter taller, and I'll be glad to see it.
Oh, my God. Except for that would kind of be a curse, because at first that would be real sweet.
You'd be hitting your head off everything.
Yeah, all of a sudden it would hit that point where you're like, oh no, the curse, it's taking over. That's like that Stephen King book, Thinner.
Did you ever read that? No.
Yeah.
Isn't he like a scary writer?
Yeah, that's a scary story. You don't want to grow a centimeter every single day for the rest of your life. Although I'm not really too good at math, I feel like somebody's going to point out that that's actually not that big of a deal. It would take like a really long time for me to get.
Like
massive.
1 week, you'd be a foot taller.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're right.
Math is not a strong suit, but the strong suit, the J.D. Bunkus podcast. You're coming in Monday, starting off 9 a.m. You'll be doing your new show debut. Give us a little tease of what to expect, other than just you.
Well, first of all, Mondays, until the Jays are up, it's always Charles Davis.
You're getting Charles Davis from me?
Yeah, that's right. That's why I came on the show.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Hang up the phone. You're
Monday.
Stealing Charles Davis from me.
It's not stealing.
This is worse than you taking the Ailish hour. Nobody told me this. I'm honestly heartbroken.
No. It's not stealing. It was never yours to begin with. Charles Davis doesn't belong. Like, he's everyone's, you know? Like, he's a saint. You can't own a saint, you know? Like, it's just, that's not a thing. He's the man. So, yeah, every Monday is going to be Charles and I.
Oh, you know what? Danielle just told me that, thank God, he's still coming with us Fridays.
Yeah. No, you're not losing, Charles.
Oh, my God. I thought maybe
did you just do a scramble looking at things, texting Danielle?
I literally went to text Danielle, like, what is going on here? Okay, we're getting him Fridays. Okay, I'm excited for you. Then we get to share Charles. That's really nice. Boom.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to have Charles on.
Okay, beside Charles, what else?
But yeah, it's gonna be what people have grown to expect from me, which is I'm going to try and have a lot of fun, as one does.
It may be harder without me.
It's definitely going to be harder without you. There's just absolutely no question about that. Like, that is 100% the truth. I definitely want to continue having you do the A-list with me on a regular basis, though.
So you can cut me off?
Yeah. Perfect. Exactly.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah, that's the thing. Putting me in my own space is going to allow the fewer moments where people say, let other people talk. I love getting that text or that tweet from you people. But yeah, I think that I really do pride myself on trying to be really honest by trying to be really direct. But by also knowing that as much as we can care about the games, that oftentimes the things we care about can be a little sillier, that we shouldn't take them too seriously. I want to have a ton of great guests. I'm hoping to have one featured guest a day. It is going to be way more of a podcast feel, where it's like one-on-one with one or maybe two people, rather than, you know, a cavalcade of guests or a cavalcade of segments. And then I'm really excited that I'll be working with some young people in the industry that are going to be coming up.
Oh, sorry, was I not young enough?
No, you're too old. This is the Leonardo DiCaprio thing. What are you, 26? You hit the...
Yeah, he can't date anyone under 25. Actually, he's with Gigi Hadid now, and she's 27. So, like, that's a big step of growth for him.
But that's to get everybody off his back. Also, isn't that funny that he thinks that's what the compromise is?
Yeah.
He's like, guys.
She's 2 years older. She's still a model.
I can do it. There's a 27-year-old model. She's ancient. She's a crypt keeper, and I'm with her. He thinks it's like people believe that he's with a mature woman now. How old is Leo? Like, he's got to be gearing up for 50.
I'm looking it up quickly. He is.
Leo's got to be in 50 range.
47.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's turning 48 in November. Ooh.
Yeah. Leo is staring down the barrel of the gun. And he sees 50, and he does not care. And
but that's how you feel with gas. I get it. Okay. It's exciting.
No, well, I got one more Leo thought.
Okay.
I think a lot of us, we see Leo, like, as an inspiration. Because
really?
A lot of us, yes, because a lot of us dudes, we like to think, hold on, just hear me out. We like to think somewhere in our weird pea brains that, hey, this guy's doing it. Like, this guy's still out there dating young, living a good life. If I got my stuff together, mm-hmm. if I could just somehow get some money
and be worth
get
like
in shape,
50 mil. You know,
yeah, like if
star.
I could just get in shape sometime. Yeah, no, this is what I was saying. If I could just do that, maybe someday I could still have that. The day Leo hangs him up and marries like a 28-year-old model, that's going to be a tough day for all of us where we all know, hey, there's no coming back. You know, our inspiration is gone.
Well, now you have 3 more hours a day to work on getting absolutely ripped, making $260 million, which is what Leo's worth. I just checked it out. And this could
that's
be your future. Really?
That's not that much. Like for Leo, you're the 260 million? He's a pauper. Where's the money, Leo? What's
he
happening?
He spent it
here?
On all his young model girlfriends.
Yeah, those dates, those bills are adding up for Leo.
They ain't cheap.
Yeah, like what's going on, Leo? Like, how much is LeBron worth?
Well, like almost a billion.
He is.
Yeah, $1 billion.
And exactly. Don't get me wrong, I think LeBron should be worth more than Leo, but like I would have assumed that Leo was at least around half a bill. Like
wow.
He's been a top dog movie star for 20, 30 years. Like, again, I think you're right. I think the theory is correct that he's been taking out all these models and these trips have been adding up and he can't save any money because he's always taking them somewhere.
Do you want to know who the richest actor in the world is?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Brad?
No, he's not even in the top 5.
Whoa, he's not even in the top 5?
Tyler Perry, $1 billion.
Oh, that doesn't count. He's making his own movies.
Jerry Seinfeld, $950.
That also doesn't count.
Tom Cruise, $600.
Yeah, there you go. I should have guessed Tom
George
Cruise.
George Clooney, $500.
Why didn't I guess Tommy Cruise? Oh, Tom Cruise. I still haven't seen new Top Gun.
Oh, my God. JD, I literally talked about this with you for months.
I know. I feel bad about it. I feel
now
bad
now you have
day.
3 more hours a day to go watch Top Gun.
You know what? Everybody come see Top Gun with me. I'll take the team to Top Gun.
I would love to. Like, I don't think it's still in theaters, okay?
No, I think Top Gun's going to be in theaters for the rest of the time because it's the last movie people will go to theaters for. Like, that they know. They're like, we got to keep this
here. It's so
good.
Actually, it is.
There's nobody coming here for anything else.
We could go see it at Young and Dundas today at 2 p.m.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. The team is taking JD to Top Gun, like, as a going away present for me.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll discuss.
Except.
Okay. Just want to know quickly how your betting has been going. Will you be doing betting in your show? Are you excited to lose some more money for the listeners?
Yeah. Well, first of all.
Cowards parlay and all your fun stuff.
First of all, you and I had the same bet yesterday.
We did?
Josh Palmer touchdown.
And we did it.
Yes.
I'm proud of us.
We both had the same TD and I had Chargers plus 4.5.
Oh, my God.
So that
amazing.
Josh Palmer touchdown was everything to me. It was my entire life. I also had the over because it dropped down
too.
To 52.5 right before the game started. And I went, oh, this is free money. And then no. But either way, Josh Palmer, you saved the night. Thank you, Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
I was
late
way too
in the
high
night,
in
too, right? I was sitting there like, oh, it's over.
Do you think Justin Herbert's tough or a faker? Which do you think it is?
He's tough. He's tough. He's a grinder. He's an inspiration to us all.
I just, when guys keep holding the spot where they're hurt.
Well,
every
that
time
fourth
they make a
down,
mistake,
it was like, wait, what? And then,
yeah. Whipped it. But I thought they were cooked when he first walked out to the huddle because he looked like he was walking gingerly. Mm-hmm. And I went, everybody in the huddle is looking at you going, we can't win. Wait, like, you're not going to do anything. And when he threw that ball away on that 3rd and 1, when he easily had the rushing, I thought he was done. But no, he came through. That was an awesome play. If you're the Chargers, you got to get to that ball. You got the opportunity. It was right there. It went off of the Chiefs players' hands. I thought we were going to get a real shot, another drive. I was bummed out. I wish onside kicks were easier. That's one of my still only gripes with football. I wish there was a way of getting the ball back that was just like a touch easier, a couple percentage points higher, because it just feels like we're a little too low on onside kicks.
I just want to read this text. I know it's off topic, but
yeah, what's
this? This is how our show goes. Justin B. from Toronto. Let me know if you think it's Justin Bourne.
I think it's Justin Bieber.
Oh, could be. Good morning, A-List. Just saying that JD isn't lying. Leo is living a lot of men's dreams. Dad bods are in and a fat wallet.
Well, that's sorry. Yeah. Dad bods
are Bourne?
In. Is, well, no, but I do think that it's funny that when guys have tricked themselves into thinking like dad bods, all the girls love dad bods. It's all about having a dad bod. It's like, eh. I mean, sure, body empowerment or whatever, but yeah, I'm pretty sure most girls are like, yeah, if you're in better shape, they'll probably be a little more stoked on that. Like, I don't think that they want you to just like cash it in and just be dad bodding it and go, this is exactly what we want. This is peak male physique.
Well, you know, when fall comes around and it's cuffing season, you have a little bit more warmth you can give.
Yeah, it is cuffing season.
There's a little bit more body to hold in the night.
Yeah, that's nice. That is nice.
A little bit of positivity, you know? For your
a little day. Bit of warmth, you know, just before you want to turn the heat on, and you're like, you know, this is a good time where you just like you go to sleep. It's only blankets, no heat, maybe a cracked window. Mm-hmm. That's a good time. So yeah, you want to talk any sports other than gambling?
How you feel about the Jays this weekend? I'm going. Are you going to any games?
I'm gonna try to go. I think to at least Saturday's game.
Yeah, I'm going to tonight, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Okay, so you're going tonight. Yeah.
I might get to see Kikuchi, which is a treat.
Kikuchi. Poor Kikuchi. It's just not happening anywhere, eh? Like, it's nothing has worked. Nothing has operated. I've been pretty positive on the Jays lately. Mm-hmm. Like, they had that series against Baltimore. They came through with a big win. Now they've had this series against the Rays, and they came through on top. Could things have been better? Yes. Could JD have hidden his under yesterday if Trevor Richards didn't come in and completely sabotage him and give up a billion runs in the ninth? Absolutely. But I think that you're seeing more good than bad right now. Some of it is a little buoyed by what Bo Bichette has been doing at the plate and how dangerous he is, but it looks like Vladdy's coming out of it a bit. You have to be encouraged by the home run. Every single time he puts a ball in the air right now, I'm like, good. That's even if he's out, fine. Just hit the ball in the air. Springer is the tough one because he hit that one home run the other night and everyone was thrilled about it, but it looked like he had to put his entire body in it and it barely got over the fence. Yeah, it barely got over the fence, and it just looks like, was it yesterday's game where, no, I think it was two games ago where he was just looked like really struggling at the dish.
Oh, like he was like rolling around, yeah.
Yeah, his first at bat, you could tell he was in just an incredible amount of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I just started to wonder, okay, so we're all being told he can't get better in season, right? And we would assume that it can't get that much worse, that it's going to end up being some kind of a cleanup surgery in his elbow, not so bad. But how much worse is just the pain going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine that doing this every day isn't going to result in this.
And cortisone shots and stuff, they get less and less effective.
Yeah.
Like, I've had them before in my hip, and the first time you're like, this is amazing, and then third time around you're like, this does nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science.
I don't know how many times he's getting those shots, but he just looks completely uncomfortable out there.
Yeah.
And
rough.
So anyway, I just think that with Stripling pitching the way that he continues to pitch, which is a boss, the way that Manoah continues to go, that even when he's sick, he can just go out and dominate. The fact that Bo looks like the MVP that we hoped that he would be at some point this season, and a lot of the other bats I think have just been kind of like normalized and a little underwhelming, but guys that you expect to turn it around. I don't know. The way that they've played in these series gives me a lot of reason to believe that they can at least get out of that wild card round. They can find themselves in a real playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about Manoah and his Twitter and how he's just, I know you're a big Manoah guy, eh?
Yeah.
Like how awesome was that? I know what his performance is on the field. I know you didn't even mention that in your speech about how good the Jays have been. Manoah on and off the field. Heartbeat of this team, your guy.
So I only saw briefly. Are we talking about like the thing with Kirk?
Yeah. People were fat shaming, or this one guy was fat shaming him, and Manoah stepped in and like just buried him on Twitter. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I didn't see too much of it. Like I kind of just
I know you're not a big Twitter guy anymore.
Well, no, listen, I'm a big Twitter guy, right? Like, I still like Twitter. I saw the thing. I usually don't care too much about the hateful stuff on Twitter. Like, I generally try to ignore it. I think personally, like, that's usually the better way to deal with something is by just not acknowledging it, because usually that's exactly what the kind of trolls want. So yeah, I don't know. I think that it's nice that he stuck up for his teammate. I think that that's always great, like a message that's positive about kids not being, you know, embarrassed about their bodies. But yeah, I didn't put too much stock into it. I put more into what Manoah's been doing on the mountain, which has been dominating. And when the guy's been sick, and he goes out there and he delivers the performance that he delivers,
it's flu game.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really, really awesome. And so, yeah, and I was happy that the Jays won it for him. Again, I just think that they've been having some performances lately where they've been showing some guts. They've been showing some real heart. And I think that some people have talked about, hey, is this team mature? Is this team going to be able to mature? And I think that you've seen that a lot over the last couple series.
All right, JD, I got to let you go because I got a better guest on the line. I'll always stick up for you on Twitter, though. Appreciate our year together. I learned a lot from you. That's as nice as I'm going to be. Everyone go listen to the JD Bunkus podcast starting Monday, September 19th, 9 a.m. He's taking over the Ailish Hour. Glad to do less work. Glad to let you have more sleep. Thanks for coming on, JD. Hopefully, you have me on as a guest. You know, I'm available.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay, right. Thanks. that's JD Bunkus, a man you know well and you love. You can keep listening to him starting Monday in his own hour. Speaking of incredible guests, a big step up here. Kevin Pangos, guard of the Canadian men's basketball team and Italy's Pro League. Kevin, how's it going this morning?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
And I've been waiting to talk to you all year long because I also lived in East Gwillimbury, and there's not many of us that have proud roots like the two of us. And I just got to say, you know, I've been pumping the East Gwillimbury Holland Landing propaganda all year long, and you have been a desired guest just to share the stage with you. You know, what's the East Gwillimbury pride in your heart right now?
I know, that's pretty cool, actually, because the population isn't so big, so the chances of that is pretty
slim. Look at us go.
So pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool to hear there's another East Gwillimbury person. And I definitely have pride coming from there. You know, it's a great area, really nice community and stuff, and a lot of friends and growing up there. So coming out of there is pretty special. Not many people have heard of it, but I cherish it for sure.
You know, I was talking about that you were going to be on the show today, and I got a message I got to read from the text line. Shout out to Kevin's mom, Mrs. Pangos, who was the best gym teacher I ever had at Denison. So you got to tell her.
That's awesome.
That's very sweet. Awesome.
She's actually here visiting at the moment, too. So,
well, pass on the message.
I'll let her know for sure. I will. I sure will.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay. We'll talk some basketball, I guess, too. You know, East Gwillimbury Hall, and we'll hang the banners, Pangos jerseys up, I'm sure, down the road. So you're representing Canada on a handful of occasions, including this summer during the last FIBA World Cup qualifying window. You know, obviously we got a lot of pride from our hometown, but what's it like to get that national pride of representing Canada basketball and being able to put that jersey on?
Yeah, every time I get to do it is special. It's something that I look forward to growing up. It's something that I idolized the guys that played for Canada. I followed it big time. You know, my dad coached university basketball, and then just being in the basketball world, I always looked up to the national team players. And so when I get the chance to represent our country, I think there's nothing better. You know, we're taking on other countries across the world and some of the best competition. And it's a chance for myself and for our team to just showcase ourselves against the best talent in the world and show that we can play basketball at the highest level. So I enjoy it. It's something that I've had an opportunity to do some summers I haven't been able to. And but this past one for the window, I was able to, and I enjoyed a lot for the two games that we played.
I know that there's talk about implementing this new approach for the Canadian men's program. You know, there's definitely, I feel like, an urgency about the culture and the performance about this team. Did you feel an elevation of buy-in and of, you know, process that you guys are going through with the lofty goals that you do have ahead?
Yeah, 100%. I think in the past years, it's kind of been flaky. Who's been in, who's been out. There hasn't been the same consistency, but recently they've really emphasized getting guys to buy in, which I think is so important because at the international competition, you can't just show up and play. You know, it's not just the best talent always wins. You see teams that you haven't really thought about on a global stage, and they're winning games against some of the known top countries in the world. And so the buy-in's been great. Guys that are, you know, not under contract or injured still show up to camp, and guys are just around, you know, getting to know each other, building that chemistry and the relationships. And I think that's important for when the time comes, you know, next summer at the World Championships, and then hopefully further down the road for the Olympics, that we have that chemistry and that familiarity with each other and can bring to the court.
Obviously, having Nick Nurse taking over that job as a head coach of the senior men's program and having that consistency and being in the Raptors world that we are, how is it working with Nick Nurse and his attention to detail and his leadership as a coach?
Yeah, it's been great. I've enjoyed playing for Nick for the last couple of summers and chance I've had. The one thing that I'm sure a lot of Raptors fans know is just the energy he brings. You know, every single day he brings it. You know, whether it's the first day of camp, the last day of camp, the first game, the last game, doesn't matter. He's got that energy, and I think it's contagious for everyone in the locker room. And so that's obviously one of his strengths, one of many, and he's a great relationship guy. You know, he's a guy that really makes it easy to buy into what he believes in, his concepts, and I think he's gotten along with everybody on the roster, and so guys are looking forward to play for him every chance they can.
So you got an opportunity to get that step up into the NBA. You know, obviously you played in a bunch of different pro leagues in Europe. You had the ability to fulfill that dream last year with the Cavs. What was it like, you know, that first day, that first night, getting to get out on the court and kind of, you know, did you get a little bit of a moment where you got to soak it in and say, this is pretty cool?
Yeah, for sure. It was something that I've dreamt of since I was a kid, was, you know, playing in the NBA, stepping on that court. And so getting the Cavs jersey with my name on the back, getting my number was definitely one of the moments that I've thought about for a long, long time. And so I definitely soaked it all in, but at the same time, you're in the moment. And so you want to make the most of it. And I was trying to put my head down and also just do the best I could. And so I really enjoyed my experience. My teammates, the staff, everyone was great with me, and I learned a ton. You know, the NBA game's different than the international game. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's just basketball, but there's a lot of little things that you got to learn to transition, and I was able to learn those things and pick people's brains, and it was special. I really, really enjoyed my year, and then now I'm over here in Italy again and just excited to play, get mm-hmm. some minutes, play a lot of minutes and enjoy it.
Well, I've already called the East Gwillimbury Sports Complex to get your jersey hung up there. They're working on it.
Nice. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I appreciate it so much for joining us, taking some time this morning, getting the chat, a little bit of EG pride. Got some people in the text line shouting you out. A lot of EG listeners. I don't know why, but we have the highest demographic of East Gwillimbury listeners in the country. Tell you that.
Thanks. Big time. Shout out EG.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Kevin, and all the best this season.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Kevin Pangos, guard of the Canadian men's basketball team over in Italy in the Pro League, got his opportunity to put that Cavs jersey on this season after years of hard work. Always love to see that. Love to have a local hero as well doing that. Shout out to the text line. Got some Holland Landing in there. Got some Georgina. It's a good spot to be from. East Gwillimbury Sports Complex. Been there a few times. Grew up in that Sutton Arena, though, the Georgina Ice Palace. I got to say, those, I have a little bit more love for those two arenas. Doing public skating there, power skating. Never was a baller, so never really got to hit the court. But shout out EG for hopefully getting Kevin Pangos in the Raptors. So I had JD on, and just to reiterate that this is the last of the Ailish hours, because JD's got a new show debuting on Monday, September 19th, which is just around the corner, 9 a.m. He'll be giving us an hour of the JD Bunkus podcast. And then, as we said, you know, there's a little bit of a tease of what to expect. He's going to have some great guests on. He's going to have some fun, some banter. Good old JD. Make sure you tune into that. There'll be a link to subscribe. There'll be a link to put that in your calendar on Monday morning. Gets to sleep in, gets to stretch it out. Come on in on the regular hour on the TTC. come on in while I'm finishing up, grinding it out. We'll cross paths for about 4 minutes there in the studio, get to see JD in person. I haven't seen that guy in months because we've been working remotely, so make sure he still is JD Bunkus. Looking forward to that. Everybody go support. Less work for me, too. Only 3 hours. Daryl from Mount Albert. EG rocks. You're right. And Matt in Toronto, fellow Holland Landing alum. Thanks for tuning in. I've had a blast doing the Ailish Hour with you all this year, this summer. A lot of great growth, a lot of great guests. Shout out to Danielle for doing an extra hour of work for me every single day, finding some great people to come on the show. Shout out to Josh Bordop for just keep continuing to grind it out. It was really fun. Learned a lot. Got a lot of great feedback in my messages and in the text line that you enjoyed the Ailish Hour. So appreciate that so much. Make sure you don't give up that hour of your listening and give it to JD for sure. Blue Jays back in action tonight. The Orioles are here in town. They're 4.5 games back. They're still there. They're still gritty. A team certainly to not underestimate. Blue Jays haven't had the most success against them this season. Hoping to right the ship on that one. Tonight seems to be a bullpen game. I'll be heading down to the Rogers Center to enjoy all the action. It's a Friday night. Looking forward to that. Two games this upcoming weekend. A little bit of a better Blue Jays pitching lineup. We're going to have Barrios on Saturday, Marvel Day, and Sunday, Alec Manoah. I asked in the text line, if I was to start watching Marvel, which I've done zero of, what would you suggest? I appreciate there's a lot of Marvel fans. I got Deadpool from Aaron and Oshawa. I don't know if I like the thought of that one because I think they talk to the viewers and I think that's kind of cringy. But we got, of course, Wonder Woman. That's girl power. I love that. Girl power is the Ailish Hour, most certainly. Appreciate you texting in with some insight all day long. Mike from Toronto says, Ailish, I'll miss your 9 a.m. entrance music. I don't really know if we had like a song for the 9 a.m. I think we just put a little bit of creativity in it, unless it was for a while, Narcos, the Edwin Diaz walkout song. I'll still continue to champion that music. Maybe the Korn song, if you remember the Korn song from TikTok, that got a little bit of light in the Ailish Hour. This weekend, football back in action, week 2 in the NFL. A doubleheader on Monday Night Football to follow with, obviously, your Bills. Full weekend of action ahead. Thanks again so much for listening and tuning in all summer long. I'll be back Monday morning, followed by JD and his new show at 9 a.m. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Blue Jays and NFL on Sunday. And we'll be back. Thanks so much.